First Peter chapter 2, we'll read verses 21 through 25. Verse 21 being our text verse for this evening. If you would just follow along as I read verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd, the bishop of your souls. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please be with me this evening. Please help me, the Lord, as I preach. Please give me your strength. Please give me your power, I ask. Please help what is said to be an encouragement for the folks to keep going on, to follow your example. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This evening I want to speak on the subject of follow his steps. In verse 21 at the end it says that ye should follow his steps. If we, once again, if we're going to abound in our Christian life, there's some things we need to do. And one of those things, we need to follow the example we've been given. Follow the example we've been given. We see that as Christians, we're to be, as we know, Christians are to be Christ-like. Basically, use Christ and have him be our example. We need to follow his steps. And some things that we're going to look at tonight, four different things as far as what he did and how we can follow in his steps. And the idea that following in the footsteps of Jesus, following his example. And this will help us to be Christians that are abounding with blessings by living a life that's pleasing to him, and a life that using him as our example. We see first regarding the Lord that he performed his Father's will. He performed his Father's will. Luke 22:42. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He performed his Father's will. Remember, he was in the garden and he was praying. Let this cup pass from me. But he said, you remember what he said? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He had a desire to do what the Father had for him to do, to perform the Father's will. And as we know, we need to follow that example and find God's will for our life. We know that serving the Lord, it's not always easy. Finding His will and doing it, what He has for you to do might not be, the easiest thing to do. And it's not, I don't think it's really ever what would be considered the easy path. But it's the path that brings the blessings. It's the path. What do you say? Anything you do or anything you have is worth working for. You know, that idea that putting effort forth. And you know what? We need to follow God's will for our life. Just like the Lord did. Jesus came to do his Father's will. And we need to follow his example. See, so many nowadays that are saved, that know that they're on their way to heaven, but yet they want to do their own thing. It comes down to two different choices. Is it going to be, are you going to say, it's thy will be done or my will be done? And far too many are picking, are saying, I'm going to do my will. I'm going to do it my way. You know, because we all think that, seemingly those folks, they all think that, they know better than God. They know what's best for them. They know, you know, then they look back and say, you know, how did my life get this way? How did it turn into such a mess? I'll tell you how. It's because you did it your own way. You took the free gift of salvation if you're saved, but you didn't have any regard for what He wanted for your life, or what He wanted you to do, or what the Holy Spirit was leading you to do, and then you wonder why it's a wreck. You really ought not wonder why your life's a wreck if you have no desire to serve Him or no desire to do His will for your life. He performed His Father's will. But not only that, we see He declared His Father's word. He declared His Father's word. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You remember when the devil was tempting Him, and he used Scripture to defeat the devil. I'm not sure you could either, with a better example of the idea of using Scripture to defeat the devil. Here Jesus Himself is using the Scriptures to defeat the devil. You know, we say, I've said it before, you know, I feel like sometimes it's like, you know, I'll preach on the importance of prayer and the importance of spending time in God's Word. And sometimes I feel like, you know, people probably get tired of hearing it. But the fact is like, it is so important, you know, that Jesus, when He was tempted, He used the Scriptures. But yet, how many Christians don't bother reading the script, go day two or 3 days or all week without even opening their Bible? Once again, you don't have to wonder why you're struggling in your Christian life, why you seem to go, can't get any traction, you don't get anywhere in your Christian life when you won't even bother reading His Word. And it's something that the Lord saw that it was important to use Scripture to defeat the devil. But you know what? I guess we know more than our Savior did. And the idea that we need to memorize it. We need to memorize it, and it'll help you immensely. It'll help you when you're being tempted. Just the last week or two, someone asked me if I regarding verses, you know, about a certain subject, and I've mentioned before about the promise book with all the different verses with the different topics in it, and that, you know what, that's something that I think it's only a few bucks. You can get it on Amazon. Get it. You have Prime. Doesn't even cost anything to get it shipped to you. And you know, but you know what? That would be a good few dollars to spend. And you can look up verses. You can look up the verses to help you. You need to memorize the verses. It's not always easy. Memorizing Scripture is not always easy. But you know what? It's important. You know, Sam has us memorizing different verses. And sometimes they're the easy ones. You know, one I already knew. And it's like, yeah, I got this one now. And then sometimes it's like, man, this is a big one. You know, but the thing is, the importance of memorizing Scripture. You having a problem? Well, finding God's Word where it talks about that and memorize some of those verses. Write them down. Have them in your pocket. Have it on your phone. I mean, good night, we all carry little computers around all day. But work on it. You say, well, it's hard for me to memorize. Well, have it on, like I said, have it on a card, have it on your phone, and look at it, you know, throughout the day. Hopefully not when you're driving. But, you know, but take time. But the thing is, when you're driving, you can listen to it. You know, with the technology we have today, you know, there really is no excuse for not. You say, well, I don't even have time to listen to God's Word. Well, do you drive anywhere? You could if you wanted to. You know, there's no excuse, but I mean, you know, everyone has their excuses, but there isn't any good excuses, because it's available to you. You can, we have ways to even have it with us, and you know, we need to memorize it. We need to memorize it when we're tempted, when Satan tempts your flesh, when he's tempting you. But you know what? We need to memorize when Satan's tormenting your mind also. I remember growing up, the preacher would say, you know, I don't know what percentage you said, but a lot of the battles that you fight with Satan are in the mind. And you know, as a young fellow, I really didn't. It's like, well, I could kind of understand what he was talking about. You know, I knew, I guess, the concept or what, you know. But it was like, it wasn't until you start getting older and then you realize what he's talking about. You know what? It's true. And when you're tempted, Satan's tempting your flesh, God's word will help you. And you know what? When he's tormenting your mind, guess what? He'll help you then too. Get in his word. Spend time in his word. He declared his Father's word. You know, and we need to memorize it. And it helps, not only that, it'll help increase your faith. It'll help you when you're tempted. It'll help increase your faith. Get in God's word, and it'll help you when you're going through those valleys. You know, you read where the same God that we serve is the same God that they served in Bible times, and what God did for them, and how he was there for them, and how he gave them the strength that they needed, and he provided for them, and all that he did. You know what? That'll increase your faith. And you start looking at the promises that he has for you that are in his word. And you know what? That'll increase your faith. You know, we struggle sometimes. We need to get in God's word. But you know, like I mentioned this morning, the problem being, a lot of times, maybe when things are going fine, well, maybe you'll read it once in a while. But when things go bad, then it's like that's the first thing you quit doing. The place that you can go to get what you need is the first place you quit going to. And then we wonder why we struggle in our Christian lives. Once again, we don't need to wonder. Then as far as God's word, it points others to Christ. It points others to Christ. We need to take, as we talked about coming up here in another 4 weeks or so, we're going to have the soul winning clinic. And we're going to, just to help us, polish up our skills. Get it back in your mind and going through your New Testament and make sure you have everything set up so you're ready to go. Use it to help point others to Christ. But not only that, number three, he walked in his Father's ways. He walked in his Father's ways. Acts 10:38 says, he went about doing good. He went about doing good. We see that... when we look at the life of Christ that we've been looking at for many, I would say many weeks. There was, it's close now. I'd have to say close to 2 years now. Almost on Wednesday night, the life of Christ, while he was on earth, and we see that how he helped, he loved, he cared, he healed, and he comforted, and many many other things also. But he walked in his Father's ways. And now that we as Christians, we need to follow his example. And we need to be encouragers also. And everyone likes to be on the receiving end of someone's kindness. You know, what do you say? It was like, well, that, you know what? That fella, he... you know, whatever he did, and you'll say what he did, and he goes, you know what, he didn't have to do that. That was really nice. That made my day. And you know what, when that happens, We do enjoy it. I enjoy it. But you know what? Everyone likes that, but not so many people enjoy or like being on the giving end of that. You know, they're not looking like, you know, they like, well, I sure enjoy when somebody, God sends a blessing my way and uses that fellow, and that fellow was a blessing to me, and I really enjoy that. But how many times do we start today and say, how can I be a blessing to someone else today? You know, how can I, you know what, it doesn't have to cost $100. It could be just a kind word. It could be just a helping hand. Sam was talking about how that he went to the store yesterday or the day before, and it was something as simple as the lady couldn't reach something up on the top shelf, and he was standing there, and she goes, "Oh, can you reach that for me?" And he did it. You know why? He's just being kind. You know what? Do we look for ways to be a blessing? Or are we just looking for, looking for ways that people can be a blessing to us? You know, many, far too many, they're looking around at like, I need this, and who do I think can be that? You know, I think that's that guy's job to be a blessing to me. I've met folks like that. You know what? You have too. Well, you know, why don't we, instead of looking for who can be a blessing to me, why don't we start looking at how we can be a blessing to others? And somebody once said, well, if we do that, who's going to take care of us? I'll tell you, you start doing that, you start living a life that you want to, you're looking for to be a blessing to other people. You know who's going to take care of you? God's going to take care of you. You know, you won't have. Don't worry about that. Why don't you start walking in Christ's example and look to be a blessing to others and let Christ use you. You won't have to worry about it. God will take care of you. Amen. We don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to be looking around. He'll take care of you. Amen. We have a Heavenly Father that, you know what? He loves you and He cares about you. And you know what? If we just concern ourselves with being a blessing, and he'll send the blessings our way too. And then not only that, number four, he fulfilled his Father's work. He fulfilled his Father's work. John 17:4 says, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." He fulfilled his Father's work. You know, he came down to earth and he had a job to do. You know, once we get saved, you know what? God has a job for you to do also. There's a work for all to do. What he has for me, it's not the same as what he has for you to do and what is somebody else. We all have our own individual job what he has for us to do. And we need to get busy and stay busy and keep pressing forward. You say, well, 2021, it's getting harder and harder. But you know what? We just need to keep going. Yes. And keep pressing forward. You think about all that folks living, hiding just because they were Christians. So think about that for a minute, and then tell me how hard we have it. We don't have it hard. We don't even know what that is. We get like a little bump in the road once in a while. Dad was talking about somebody. They were putting tracks on cars out in Arizona, and he said he went to put it on the handle of one car, and somebody walked up and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" It was the owner of the car. And he goes, and Dad said, he turned around and said, "Oh, here, I want to give you this." And he goes, "I don't want that." You know, some people are like, "I can't believe I was persecuted. That's why I don't do that anymore." Like, and we pick on the millennials. But you know what? There's a work for all to do. And you know what? There's a world for all of us, for all to tell. Yes, we have a job to do, and we each have individual job, but there is one job for all of us to do, and that's to tell the world. Carry out the Great Commission. And we need to tell folks about Him. We need to win them while there's still time. You know, I say, well, you're in an area that's rough. This area is a little rough. But you know what? It still needs done. There, you might go somewhere else and be able to go out and win 3, 4, 5 people in one Saturday. And there are places like that. You know what? That's not really here. But you know what? So what? It's our job. This is where God put us. We need to get busy. We need to suck it up and get going. You know what? I'm for one not going to use the excuse when I stand before God and say, "Well, God, you know I was in Michigan City. I just figured, what's the use?" You know what? It's not going to cut it when you're standing before the Lord. He fulfilled His Father's work, and we need to also. We need to follow His example. We need to follow His steps. He's our supreme example, and we need to follow Him. And if we get busy serving Him and following His example, you know what? As our theme is, you will abound with blessings. I have no doubt. But the thing is, with the importance of following His steps and being diligent to keep pressing forward for Him while there's still time.